Welcome to today's deep dive. We are really excited to have you here. You usually tune in because you're curious about a topic and, well, you want a shortcut to being well informed, right?
Right, exactly. A way to learn without feeling, completely drowned in information overload.
But today, information overload is like literally the least of our worries because the source material we've been handed for this deep dive is, and I'm not exaggerating here, exactly 7 words long.
Just 7 words. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's excerpts from Stock Market Basics, Everyone Should Know. Stock Market Basics, Everyone Should Know. That's it. That is the entire thing.
It's just a title.
Right. There is no book attached to this title. There's no underlying text, no like table of contents, no glossary of terms, not even an introductory paragraph. We have basically been handed the cover of a book, but every single page inside is just completely blank.
Which is, the absolute definition of an intellectual tease.
Oh, 100%.
Because we are dealing with this extreme case of informational minimalism. The text is entirely absent, which forces us to focus completely on the framing itself.
Okay, let's unpack this because someone out there might look at this blank document and think, well, there's nothing to analyze here. Like a deep dive usually requires data or arguments or evidence to sift through, you know?
Right.
But within those 7 words is this massive, aggressive assumption about how you and I are supposed to, like, survive in the modern world.
Yeah, we're essentially looking at the architecture of a doorway without being allowed to see the room inside.
Oh, I like that.
The words, stock market basics, everyone should know, they act as a sign hanging right over that door.
Huh.
And even without seeing the room, the sign itself makes two incredibly strong assertions right out of the gate.
Right.
First, it asserts that the stock market actually possesses distillable, understandable fundamentals. It claims there's a bedrock that can be isolated.
Yeah.
And second, it asserts that possessing these fundamentals represents a universal imperative.
A universal imperative. I mean, it doesn't say some people should know, right? Or people with a lot of disposable income should know. It explicitly says everyone.
Exactly.
Which is just a massive sweeping command. So our mission today for you, the listener, is to figure out what those specific words actually signal about financial literacy. How do we even approach a source that gives us only its core thesis, especially when that thesis carries so much heavy societal baggage?
Well, the best way to approach it is really through deconstruction. We have to take those 7 words and just test their structural integrity.
Right. Kick the tires a bit.
Exactly. We have to look at the psychological implications of calling something a basic when it applies to a notoriously complex system.
Let's start right there, actually, with the first half of the phrase, stock market basics. The source text explicitly zeroes in on this idea of basics applied to the stock market. And I gotta say, this creates immediate friction for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about what the stock market represents in the public consciousness today. It's perceived as this incomprehensibly complex, hyper-fast digital ecosystem.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's a system that can feel terrifyingly volatile to the average person, and yet this title just slaps the word basics right next to it, as if we were talking about like baking a cake or something.
What's fascinating here is the sheer audacity of that juxtaposition.
Right.
You have a system that is notoriously opaque to the average person. I mean, it operates on layers of predictive modeling, high-speed trading algorithms, global macroeconomic shifts.
Stuff that you need a PhD in math to even look at.
Exactly. So by attaching the word basics to it, the author is making a really profound epistemological claim here. They're suggesting that beneath the apparent chaos, there's a foundational layer of mechanics.
So it frames the market not as an impenetrable black box, which is, let's be honest, how most people view it, but as a system built on comprehensible rules.
Yeah. It implies that before anyone even attempts to understand advanced financial strategies, there is a structural floor that everyone can stand on. The word basics is doing a lot of heavy lifting there.
So much heavy lifting.
It serves as this psychological tool designed specifically to lower the barrier to entry.
It makes me think of learning to drive a car. I feel like this is the perfect way to visualize what the author is attempting to do with this title.
Okay, let's explore that.
So think about a modern automobile, right? Maybe a fully electric vehicle or even just a really complex modern combustion engine car. It is an incredible feat of engineering. If you open the hood, you are just staring at an overwhelming array of components and wiring and computer systems.
Oh, yeah. If you were required to understand the thermodynamics of that engine.
Exactly.
Or, like, the software code running the regenerative braking system before you were legally allowed to turn the key, nobody would ever drive.
We would literally all be walking. You do not need to be a mechanical engineer to drive to the grocery store. You don't need to understand the fuel-to-air ratio. You just need to know the basics.
Right, the operational basics.
Exactly. You need to know that the pedal on the right makes the car go forward, the pedal on the left makes the car stop, and the steering wheel points you in the direction you want to travel. And, you know, maybe how to read the speedometer so you don't get pulled over.
Hopefully, yes.
Those are the mechanics of operation, not the mechanics of engineering.
And that distinction between operation and engineering is so crucial here, because what this title is promising is that it will hand you the keys to the car. It is not handing you a mechanics manual.
Right.
It implies that there is an operational level of understanding the stock market that is totally divorced from the terrifying complexity of the engineering level.
I love that distinction, the operational level versus the engineering level, because the author is essentially saying, hey, here's the accelerator, here's the brake. By boldly stating there are basics, this title acts as a sort of battering ram against the fortress of financial jargon.
Yes, that's exactly what it's doing. Because for a very long time, the language of finance has been used as a moat to keep the general public out.
Absolutely.
If the language of money is incomprehensible, the average person will just naturally assume they aren't smart enough to participate.
And then what happens? They experience severe financial imposter syndrome.
Exactly. And because of that imposter syndrome, they might hand their money over to someone else and pay exorbitant fees. Or they might simply avoid the system entirely out of fear.
Just bury their money in the backyard.
Right. So the word basics is designed to aggressively reduce that intimidation. It democratizes the premise of financial knowledge. It tells the reader that this isn't magic, you know. It's just plumbing. And anyone can learn how a pipe works.
But, okay, if we lean into the car analogy for a second, what actually are the pedals and the steering wheel of the stock market? Since the book is blank, we're kind of forced to deduce what those operational basics would actually have to be, just based on the promise of the title alone.
Well, it certainly wouldn't be about picking individual winning companies or trying to time the market by reading candlestick charts.
Oh, that's engineering stuff.
Exactly. The true bedrock basics would have to be conceptual. Like moving from abstraction to concrete reality.
You mean example?
For instance, the fundamental concept that a stock is not just some digital ticker symbol flashing green or red on a screen, but a literal fractional slice of a real business.
Oh, right. Like understanding that if you own a share of a coffee company, you literally own a tiny, tiny fraction of the espresso machines, the beans, the real estate, and the profits.
Yes. That completely grounds the entire concept in reality. It's not a casino chip, it's ownership.
Okay, what else? What's another pedal?
Another operational basic would have to be the fundamental rule of risk versus reward. It's the undeniable gravity of the financial world.
Meaning, if you want a higher potential return, you must accept a higher possibility of loss.
Precisely. These are concepts that require simple logic, not advanced mathematics. And what is so brilliant about the framing of this title is the implicit promise that once you grasp these logical rules, the noise of the daily news cycle just stops being so terrifying.
Because you know how the machine works.
Right. If you know how the engine fundamentally works on an operational level, a weird noise doesn't instantly mean the car is going to explode. You actually have a framework to process that noise.
I hear that, but I have to challenge the author's premise here, though. For you, the listener, I want to play devil's advocate. Is there a danger in calling these things basics?
What kind of danger?
Well, the stock market changes its behavior based on the behavior of everyone participating in it, right?
Yeah.
It's constantly shifting. So by trying to distill something that massive and reactive into static, simple basics, is there a massive risk of oversimplification?
That's a fair point.
Because if you give someone a simplified map and the terrain suddenly shifts, doesn't that map become incredibly dangerous?
That is a very real friction in this premise. Because if a basic rule is that over a long enough timeline, the market generally trends upward.
Right, the classic advice.
And then someone experiences, say, a decade of economic stagnation, that basic rule is going to feel like a complete lie. The map fails the territory.
Exactly. It creates a false sense of security. You think you know how to drive, but suddenly you are on a sheet of black ice and the pedals don't work the way the manual said they would.
However, And this is the counterargument. Without that simplified map, you cannot take the first step. Oversimplification is often a necessary evil of education. I mean, we teach children fundamental physics before we introduce the mind-bending realities of quantum mechanics, right?
Yeah, that's true. The whole Newtonian versus quantum thing.
The early lessons aren't the complete truth of the universe, but they are the necessary framework required to function. The title implies a highly foundational approach to finance. You literally have to learn how to steer the car on a dry, empty parking lot before you can learn how to recover from a skid on black ice.
Okay, fair enough. So if we accept that these rules are truly foundational, that they are the operational steering wheel and pedals, that leads us directly to the author's next really aggressive claim.
The claim about who exactly needs to be put in the driver's seat.
Yes. Let's look at the second half of this title, Everyone Should Know.
So we're transitioning from the nature of the knowledge to the target audience of the knowledge.
Exactly. The source explicitly asserts that this information is something everyone should know. I mean, it doesn't target investors or business students or people who are explicitly looking to build a retirement portfolio. The net is cast over humanity as a whole. Everyone.
And this raises an important question about the prescriptive nature of the language used here. The word should is just dripping with moral and practical obligation.
Yes, should is a very heavy word.
It is. It's not everyone could know, which would imply an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not everyone might know, which would imply a mere possibility. Should implies a duty.
A duty. Wow.
It frames this knowledge not as optional reading for hobbyists, but as an essential requirement for participating in modern life.
So it frames financial literacy as a core survival skill, like knowing how to swim or knowing how to look both ways before crossing the street.
Exactly. The author is essentially saying that walking through life without these basics is reckless.
Reckless? That's intense.
Well, think about it historically. In the 19th century, basic reading and writing transitioned from being a luxury of the elite to an imperative for the masses. Why? Because the nature of the economy changed.
Oh, interesting.
The Industrial Revolution required a workforce that could read instructions, sign contracts, navigate a text-based society. The argument this title makes is that in the modern era, financial literacy is the new basic literacy.
Okay, but here is where it gets really interesting and where I absolutely have to push back hard on the author for you, the listener. Because if you are sitting in your car right now or, you know, walking your dog, you might be thinking, is it genuinely true that everyone needs to know this?
Right.
Because if we take the word everyone literally, we run into a massive, glaring problem with lived reality.
Let's explore that friction. Where exactly does the resistance to the word everyone come from?
It comes from the fact that a massive portion of the population does not have a single dollar of disposable income to invest.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, think about the everyday person working multiple jobs just to pay rent. Think about someone who is drowning in medical debt, living paycheck to paycheck, literally calculating the cost of groceries down to the penny just to survive until Friday.
Right.
If you walk up to that person and say, hey, you really should know the basics of the stock market, it sounds incredibly tone deaf. It honestly borders on insulting.
I agree. It can feel like a profound disconnect from their immediate material reality. If someone is struggling to secure basic shelter, lecturing them about fractional ownership of a corporation seems entirely absurd.
It feels like victim blaming. If someone can't even afford to buy a ticket to the game, why on earth do they need to know the rules of the sport?
That's a powerful way to put it.
The author's use of everyone just assumes a baseline of wealth and stability that simply does not exist for everyone. Telling someone in deep poverty that they should know this almost implies that their financial struggles are just a result of a lack of education, rather than, you know, a lack of capital or broader systemic failure.
And that is a highly valid critique of the language. The word everyone definitely risks erasing systemic inequality by suggesting that a lack of knowledge is the only barrier. It completely ignores the reality that capital is a prerequisite for investment.
Right.
But, and this is a big, but if we connect this back to the bigger picture, I think we can uncover the deeper, arguably more terrifying rationale behind why the author insists everyone should know.
Okay.
Even the person living paycheck to paycheck with zero capital.
I am genuinely curious how you defend the author here. Why does the person with $0 to invest still have an obligation to know how the stock market works?
Because the total financialization of the modern global economy means that even if you do not participate directly in the stock market participates in you.
Wait, hold on. The market participates in you. That is a really heavy concept. Walk me through exactly what that means.
It means the stock market dictates the behavior of the corporations that govern our daily lives. Think about it. Why did the price of your groceries just increase?
Right. Usually we think it's inflation or supply chain stuff.
It might not be a simple supply chain issue at all. It might be because a publicly traded agricultural conglomerate is under immense pressure from its shareholders to increase its quarterly profit margins. So what do? They raise prices at the consumer level.
Oh, wow. So the shareholder demand directly hits my wallet at the checkout line.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or ask yourself, why did the major factory in your town close, putting hundreds of people out of work? It might not be because the factory wasn't profitable. It might be because an investment group decided the company was more valuable liquidated than operational.
So the mechanics of the market are pulling the strings of the local economy. The decisions made on a trading floor in New York or London are rippling out and literally hitting the person at the local grocery store, regardless of whether that person owns any stock at all.
Precisely. The health of employers, the availability of credit, the rate of inflation that eats away at whatever tiny savings someone might have. These macroeconomic forces are inextricably tied to the behavior of the equity market.
Yeah, that makes sense.
When the stock market experiences a massive downturn, it isn't just investment bankers who suffer. They might lose a bonus. But it is the service workers who lose their jobs because consumer spending instantly dries up.
Yeah.
The systemic risk of the market is completely socialized. It impacts everyone.
So what you're saying is that the title's claim that everyone should know is essentially arguing that ignorance of the system is a vulnerability.
It is the ultimate vulnerability. Because if you don't understand the rules of the game, you cannot understand why you are losing.
Wow.
You cannot effectively advocate for yourself politically or economically. If you don't know the basics of how capital moves and how corporate decisions are incentivized, you are completely at the mercy of those who do.
Right.
The author's use of everyone is not a promise that everyone can get rich. It is a warning that everyone is exposed to the blast radius.
That completely flips my reading of the title. Like, completely. It goes from sounding like this cheesy get-rich-quick infomercial to a public health warning. Know how this works because it governs the world you have to live in.
Exactly. It frames financial literacy as a form of self-defense.
I think we need to abandon the car analogy then and replace it with a different one, because the car analogy implies you have a choice to get in and drive. The reality you are describing is much more like a casino.
A casino. Let's hear it.
Well, you are not learning to build the casino, and you aren't even sitting at the table trying to win chips. You just suddenly realize that the casino is built around you while you were sleeping, the doors are locked, and the house is subtly taking money out of your pockets to keep the lights on.
That's a chilling image.
Right. You need to know the rules of the games being played around you just to understand how to protect your own wallet. You have to know the house edge.
The casino analogy captures the involuntary nature of the exposure perfectly. And to return to the concept of the basics, this is exactly why foundational knowledge is critical for self-defense. You don't need to know the complex mathematical formulas used by high-frequency traders. You just need to know the foundational incentives. You need to know that a publicly traded company's primary legal obligation is to generate value for its shareholders, not necessarily to protect its employees or offer the best product to its customers.
And just understanding that one basic concept explains an enormous amount of corporate behavior that otherwise seems completely illogical or honestly just cruel.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it explains why a company might announce massive employee layoffs on the exact same day they announce record-breaking profits, which is something that always baffles people.
Because people assume the stock price is a direct reflection of current, you know, tangible success. Mm-hmm. But the stock price isn't based solely on current profits. It is based heavily on the expectation of future growth.
Right.
If laying off a significant portion of the workforce reduces operational costs and increases the expectation of future profit margins, the stock goes up, the shareholders are rewarded, and the executives receive their bonuses.
It's a brutal logic, but it is logic.
Exactly. And if you understand that basic mechanic, you are no longer bewildered when you read the news. You might be furious, but you aren't confused.
And confusion is paralyzing, isn't it? If you don't understand why something is happening, you just feel helpless. anger, at least, can be mobilizing.
Yes.
Understanding the mechanics allows you to direct your frustration at the actual systemic cause, rather than just feeling like the universe is out to get you.
Education dispels the paralysis of confusion. It provides clarity of vision.
Okay, so let's look a little deeper into the word know in this title. Everyone should know. What does it actually mean to know these basics?
What do you mean?
Well, there is an assumption embedded here that the basics are objective truths, right?
Yeah.
Like the laws of physics. But is the stock market governed by objective mathematical realities, or is it fundamentally a psychological and sociological construct? Like, what exactly are we supposed to be knowing?
That is actually one of the most profound tensions in economic theory. Yes. There is an entire school of thought arguing that the market is perfectly rational, that prices instantly reflect all available information, and therefore the market operates on objective mathematical realities.
The efficient market hypothesis, right?
Exactly. And if that is true, then the basics you need to know are purely quantitative. You need to know how to read a balance sheet.
But humans are not perfectly rational machines. We know this. The market is made up of millions of human beings making decisions, and human beings are emotional, panicky, and greedy.
Which leads to the opposing school of thought. This school argues that the market is driven entirely by human emotion herd mentality, cognitive biases, and irrational exuberance.
So if that is true, then the basics you need to know are not mathematical equations at all. They are psychological principles.
Precisely. A basic everyone should know might not be how to calculate a company's valuation. A basic might be understanding that when the market starts dropping and everyone around you is panicking, you will feel an intense biological urge to panic and sell everything too, and you must understand how to resist that urge.
The fight or flight response applied to your retirement account.
Yes. The basics of managing one's own psychology are arguably far more critical than the basics of accounting.
Wow, that's so true.
The mechanics of executing a trade take 5 minutes to learn.
Yeah.
You literally click a button on an app.
Yeah, my teenager could do it.
But the temperament required to hold an investment through a severe market crash without capitulating to fear, that takes a lifetime to master. The true basics of the market are deeply intertwined with the basics of human nature.
So the title, Stock Market Basics Everyone Should Know, could actually be a Trojan horse.
A Trojan horse. I like that.
Yeah. You crack open this hypothetical book expecting to be hit with spreadsheets and math and jargon, and instead you get a mirror reflecting your own psychological biases and emotional vulnerabilities right back at you.
It is highly probable that the most important knowledge the author wants to impart is behavioral, not technical.
So what does this all mean for us, for you listening right now? We have taken a tiny 7-word source material, literally just a title with no book attached, and we have stretched it, pulled it apart, and examined it from every possible angle.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We really have. We've looked at the linguistic choices, the psychological barrier of the word basics, the difference between operational knowledge and engineering knowledge, and the intense friction of claiming that everyone has a duty to understand this system.
Especially when everyone includes those with no capital to invest.
Exactly. To me, what this all means is that language is incredibly powerful. Even a 7-word phrase carries massive philosophical and societal weight. This title alone manages to promise the democratization of a historically exclusive system.
Yes.
It promises to break down the ivory tower of finance into understandable mechanics, and it demands universal participation from all of us, not as a way to get rich, but as a mandatory form of self-defense.
It is a demand that we refuse to remain ignorant of the forces that govern the world around us.
For you, the listener, the ultimate takeaway here is about the framing of information. The most crucial step in any learning process isn't memorizing data or reading the manual. The first and most important step is being told that you belong in the conversation.
That's a beautiful way to phrase it.
When a title says everyone should know, it is aggressively validating your right to be at the table. It is telling you that this knowledge is not above your pay grade. It is your fundamental right.
It completely removes the permission structure that keeps people marginalized.
Exactly.
You do not need an advanced degree or a broker's permission to understand the machinery of capital.
And once you internalize that, once you realize that the basics are just operational tools and that understanding them is how you protect yourself in a casino you never asked to enter, the intimidation just fades away. You might not want to become a day trader, but you will at least know how to read the room.
Which leaves us with a final, rather provocative thought to mull over.
Ooh, okay. Lay it on us.
Well, If we accept the inherent premise of this title, if we agree that the basics of the stock market are genuinely things that everyone should know in order to survive and advocate for themselves in a highly financialized global economy, it raises a glaring, almost uncomfortable question about the structure of our society.
I feel a major question coming.
Think about the standard primary education curriculum that almost everyone goes through.
Okay. Middle school, high school.
Right. We spend years teaching children about the structure of plant cells. We ensure they know the dates of historical battles, the complexities of advanced geometry.
Things most of us never use again.
Exactly. And yet, this fundamental survival skill, the basic mechanics of money, how the equity markets govern the economy, the operational rules of the system that will dictate their adult lives, is rarely, if ever, taught as mandatory curriculum in standard public education.
That is wild to think about.
If this knowledge is a universal imperative, as our title boldly suggests, what does it say about our society that these fundamentals are actively kept out of the classroom? Are we deliberately creating a system where we expect everyone to know the rules of a game they were never officially taught how to play?
Wow, that is a heavy thought to sit with. Are we expected to play a game where the rules are purposefully hidden from the curriculum? It brings us right back to the beginning of our deep dive.
Back to the blank book.
Yes. You're handed a book that says it contains the rules everyone should know, but the pages inside are blank. The rules are out there operating on you every single day, but nobody wrote them down for you. You just have to figure out how the casino works while you're already sitting at the table bleeding chips.
Exactly. The blanks are left for you to fill in, usually the hard way.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep asking questions, keep challenging the framing of the information you are handed, and definitely keep looking for the rules of the game. We'll see you next time.